Radio Service, National Radio Club.
And welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for May 2005. This is issue number 242, and I'm your host, Fred Bobby, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is 706 Mackenzie Drive, Mackenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. If you live in the United States of America or Canada and would like to become a member of the DX Audio Service, the cost of a subscription is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and look for that Join Us link on the top of the page. Well, let's find out what those wacky guys at the FCC are up to these days with all those call letter switches and things that go on in AM radio. Here's Bill Hale with a look at the AM switch.
Thanks, Fred, and welcome to the May edition of AM Switch for the DX Audio Service. First of all, call letter changes. 590 KOMJ in Omaha has changed to KXSP. 630 KPTT in Reno, Nevada, now KPLY. 820 WCSN in Chicago is now WAIT, and 850 WAIT in Crystal Lake, Illinois has changed to WCPT. Now before I go any further, I have a note about that at the end, so don't write those down just yet. 940 WGMY South Haven, Michigan is now WSPZ. 960 WILT in Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania has changed to WPLY. 1050 KMAP in Fraser Park, California is now KJPG. 1090 WMUS in Muskegon, Michigan has changed to WKBZ. 1100 KRKE in Milan, New Mexico has changed to KQNM. 1150 KVDL in Quanah, Texas, they've changed to KREL. 1220 WHK Cleveland, their new call WHKZ. 1290 KZBN in Santa Barbara, California has picked KRNP for their new calls. 1310 KXTN in San Antonio, Texas has changed to KHAL, now with a talk and standards format. 1330 KSNA in Shasta Lake City, California, they've changed to KJPR. 1330 in Somerset, Pennsylvania, the XWYSN, they're now WBHV. 1370 WAXE in Vero Beach, Florida has changed to WZTA. 1380 KJJL in Cheyenne, Wyoming has taken KJUA as their new calls. 1420 WRMR in Cleveland, their new call WHK. 1440 WVMG in Cochran, Georgia has picked WDXQ for their new call. 1440 WTHM in Red Lion, Pennsylvania has changed to WGLD. 1460 WBPA in Elkhorn City, Kentucky has changed their call to WEKB. On 1470 WTKO in Ithaca, New York has changed to WNYY. 1480 KHCK in Dallas, Texas, their new call KNIT. KOSR 1490 in Omaha is now KOMJ. Also on 1490, but Johnstown, Pennsylvania, WSPO, their new call WPRR. 1510 KQHN in Nederland, Texas, their new call KBED. On 1600 KANM in Albuquerque, their new call KRKE. 1630 KKWY in Fox Farm, Wyoming has picked KRND for their new call. 1640 KFNY in Enid, Oklahoma, they've just changed one letter of their call, which is now KFXY. And finally, 1700 KTBK in Sherman, Texas, their new call is KKLF to go along with their new simulcasting partner KLIF 570 with a talk format. Now, I mentioned before to stay tuned on a couple of those calls. According to radio TV reporter Robert Feeder in the April 20th edition of the Chicago Sun-Times, the return of Heritage calls WAIT to 820 in Chicago, which was granted last week by the FCC, will not happen. at least for now. The owner of WCSN 820 Chicago and WAIT 850 Crystal Lake, Illinois, which is Newsweb Corporation, and we quote the article, had sought provisional approval to move to the WAIT calls to 820, replacing them with WCPT. Newsweb's plan was to carry Air America programming, and the new 850 calls were to stand for Chicago's Progressive Talk. However, Newsweb and Air America have not yet come to agreement. The FCC had jumped the gun on granting the changes, and the changes were rescinded at the request of Newsweb. As of the deadline here, the calls have not changed to what we have reported, but we'll keep an eye out for those changes and report accordingly. Turning our attention now to construction permits, which have gone on during the past month. 810 WJJQ, Tomahawk, Wisconsin. Their CP to add night service with 13 watts is on the air. They're now 980 watts during the day and 13 watts at night, U1. 850 WFTL, West Palm Beach, Florida. Program test authority has been granted for U4 50,000 daytime watts, 28,000 watts at night, from the proposed six-tower site of WJNA 640. 1160 WYLL Chicago has been reported to be on the air with their new U4 50,000 authorization. The new night pattern emanates from their new six-tower site on Chicago's south side and shoots all of the 50 kilowatts at 003 degrees. Plenty of signal in Sweden and Norway. 1220 WZBK Keene, New Hampshire is on the air with 1,000 watts during the day, 146 watts at night, U1. WHKY 1290 in Hickory, North Carolina, they're on the air with U4 50,000 daytime watts, 1,000 watts at night. And 1350 WZNN Black Mountain, North Carolina, their CP for 10,000 watts during the day, 56 watts at night, U1, is now on the air. A new station has been granted. 1100 Las Vegas, Nevada will be building soon. They've been granted 20,000 watts during the day, 2,000 watts at night, U4. Stations which have been granted facility changes. WMAM 570 in Marinette, Wisconsin has been granted a move to an existing taller tower of a FM station in the area. So they'll be reducing powers to U1, 197, and 78. 600 WSNL Flint, Michigan, the CP has been granted for their move, along with a power decrease to U4, 440 watts during the day and 250 watts at night. On 620, WDAE in St. Petersburg, Florida has been granted a CP to increase their authorized day and night power levels to become U2, 5600 daytime, 5500 nighttime. We say authorized as WDAE has an STA, which is a special temporary authorization, to operate with 10,000 watts during the day, 9,800 watts at night, U2, due to interference from Cuba. 730 WJYM Bowling Green, Ohio has been granted a CP to add night service. There'll be U4, 1,000 and 359. 800 KLDC in Brighton, Colorado. They've been granted a CP to move to 810 kilohertz with U4, 2200 daytime, 430 watts at night, using a four-tower array inside the KLZ-560 antenna field. This is odd, as they were denied the original proposal to do nighttime interference to WBAP 820, but the new granted CP shows more than twice the power directed toward Fort Worth. 810 WDMP Dodgeville, Wisconsin has been granted nighttime service. They'll be on with 250 watts during the day and 10 watts at night. WHSR 980 in Pompano Beach, Florida has been granted an increase in nighttime power to become U4 5200 from a three-tower site of WSBR 740. 1140 KNEI Waukon, Iowa, they've been granted a move to 1160. With 880 watts during the day and 26 watts at night, non-directional. 1290 WTMI West Hartford, Connecticut has been granted night service. They'll be on with 490 watts during the day and 11 watts at night. 1410 KRIL in Odessa, Texas has been granted to reduce day and night power levels to become U1 900 and 235. They also will be taking down one of their two towers. The daytime power is being reduced due to the signal's overlap with KBYG and KIUN. And 1570 WSCO Appleton, Wisconsin has been granted a CP to increase their day power and diplex their night operation into the new six-tower site of WHBY 1150. When operational, WSCO will be U5, 2400 daytime watts, 246 watts at night, operating from two sites. Canada News to report, the CBC has applied to move CBRB 860 Banff, Alberta to 96.3 MHz with 1180 watts ERP at a minus 222 meters. It seems the AM transmitter site is on Canadian Pacific property, which has ordered it vacated. So this gives the CBC a good opportunity to consolidate the new FM on the same tower as its TV station there. CKOT 1510 Tillinsburg, Ontario has applied to the CRTC to move to 104.7 on the FM dial with 5 kilowatts max ERP at 163.5 meters. With CKOT being a daytimer, Dean McIntyre asks the question, what station was Canada's first daytimer? He reports that CHUM 1050 started out in 1945 as a daytimer. Was there any other Canadian daytimer on earlier? And the CRTC has revoked the license of CJTN 1270 in Quinte West, formerly Trenton, Ontario, as the FM station replacing it is in operation. Scratch another Canadian station. Stations which have been reported to be back on the air this past month, KMER 950, Kemmerer, Wyoming. Their slogan is Oldies 95. WAAA 980, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, with a black gospel format. WYAL 1280, Scotland Neck, North Carolina, with black gospel. KACE 1310, Birch Tree, Missouri, with Oldies. KCLR 1530, Rawls, Texas, with Radio Cristiano. Also back on, KHRO 1650, El Paso, Texas, with a modern rock format and Hero Rock 1650 slogans. However, KQNM 1100, Milan, New Mexico, and WGLD 1440, Red Lion, Pennsylvania, reportedly have gone silent. Thanks to Sean Axelrod, Wayne Heinen, Dean McIntyre, and Jerry Starr for information and edits contained herein. Well, that's AM Switch for this month. We turn our attention now to station IDs, past and present, and for that, here's John Bowker.
National Radio Club.
Well, thanks very much, Bill Hale, and hello, everyone. Welcome to the Travelog. Today, we're going to be introducing the 920 kilohertz dial position as we go across the country with our radios glued to that one channel. You know, nominally, there are 44 U.S. stations on this one frequency, and yet we have over 50 station breaks, and we'll explain that as we go along. Oh, well. But another interesting thing is that back in 1941, when the North American Regional Broadcast Agreement was reached, it was established that 920 should be a regional channel, and that meant that the maximum power, day or night, for any broadcast station at 920 would be 5,000 watts. And can you believe it? Here in 2005, after all the changes that have come about in the broadcast band in the ensuing years, still the maximum power of any station in the United States operating at 920 on the dial is 5,000 watts, with one exception. And we'll get to that exception in a month or two, so we'll let you hang on that as we visit New England and go back about 35 years to begin the May 2005 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
Good night.
Good night, David.
Good night.
Good night, Steve.
Good night, Ted.
Good night, Dr. Von Hilsing. Good night.
Good night, Marcia.
Good night, Bruce.
Good night, Ted.
Bruce, night, you George. Stay.
This is WJAR in Providence, Rhode Island. Stay tuned now for NBC Monitor News.
And then a bit more recently, Linda and I were up in that part of the world.
This is the Talk of Rhode Island, 920 WHJJ, Providence.
WHJJ, the Talk of Rhode Island.
NBC News, good morning. I'm Don Blair. And so we leave New England at this point, cross the Hudson River, and go over to a point just south of Syracuse, New York. Now, this station operates with 1,000 watts days, 500 watts at night. And the 1,000 watts, at least, gives it a good shot into Ithaca, which is a nice market to have.
WKRT Cortland.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Satisfaction, but not closure. That's how some victims describe their feelings about the Timothy McVeigh verdict.
Yep, 1997 that recording was made. Well, let's go down the interstate toward New York City now.
It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News.
And our final stop in New York State at 9:20 on the dial will be up in the Adirondack Lake District. In fact, the mountain just to the east of this next city was clearly visible out of my bedroom window for some 17 years when I was growing up.
Adirondack Radio is WIRD AM 920 and WLPW 105.5 FM. Saranac, Lake Placid, the spirit of the Adirondacks.
Now, let's see, a little coincidence here, because after those 17 years I just mentioned, and a few more for educational stuff, we moved to New Jersey. And at one time or another, I was an announcer on every station, every AM station at least, and one FM station in the Trenton, New Jersey market, except this one.
Rudy and Steve, the Gatlin guys, and the bitter they are, the harder they fall.
Now, of all the 13,000-plus stations we have in the Travelog collection, this is the only station I can think of that gives the wrong frequency when talking about itself. It has to match into its logo. Listen.
If you like oldies of the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, and I'm sure you do, you'll want to tune in this Friday and every Friday from 11:30 to 1:30 for Double T93's Lunchtime Goldmine with me, Ted Winkler.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Double T93 at 92 on your dial. The Double T came from WTTM. And that stood for the slogan that was on the big bridge across the Delaware River at Trenton, and it read, World Takes, Trenton Makes. That was the WTTM call sign. But then, as happens so often with meaningful call signs, they decided to abandon it, and they took one of the FM call signs they had in that market. I don't know if they had contemporary hit radio in mind, or perhaps some religious programming for WCHR.
This is WCHR in Trenton, one of the many nice things here in the Delaware Valley.
USA Radio Network News, this is Russ Ross.
And if you step foot into central New Jersey or eastern Pennsylvania today, this is what you hear at 920 kilohertz.
Mark your calendars now for Philadelphia Park's richest race, the $750,000 PA Derby on Labor Day.
WPHY Trenton.
ESPN 920 Philadelphia traffic sponsored by the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs.
Interesting, isn't it? They're running less than 1,500 watts day or night. They're a good 25 miles from Philadelphia. They're giving Philadelphia traffic, and they've changed their call letters to WPHY. There's a message there somewhere. Well, okay, that's enough from the Trenton market at 9:20 on the dial. Let's go out into, as a matter of fact, just about the middle of the state of Pennsylvania.
This is 30 at 12, 30 minutes of news, sports, and AccuWeather on WKBA Lewistown. More on the local scene after world and national news brought to you today by Mifflin County Savings and Loan.
AP Network News, I'm Cynthia Heck.
Now, this next station's always been a problem for me. On all the years that it was on 920, which it isn't anymore, I was never at the right place at the right time to pick up a station break. So, this is what you'll have to settle for out of Lexington Park, Maryland.
Print or type the information on a card or letter and mail it to WPTX, Lexington Park, Maryland, 20653.
Well, it was a station ID, a legal one at that, although it's probably not written in the log that way. And if we go back 38 years, we were in Burlington, North Carolina for this one.
WBBB, Burlington Graham, North Carolina.
Short and sweet, but confirmed what we needed. And then in 1998...
is WPCM AM Burlington, Central Carolina's classic country station.
Now, way out in the western part of North Carolina, there is the city of Asheville, and it kind of tucks down under the eastern part of Tennessee. And a suburb of Asheville is Canton, North Carolina.
New music in Billy Ray Cyrus right after the news. Keeping you in the country. WPTL, Canton.
NBC Radio News. The battleground state of Michigan was used by the president as a backdrop for his new education initiative.
Okay, very good. Now, if we go down south of the border into South Carolina, we find a triangle formed by three cities, Charleston out on the ocean, Columbia, the state capital, up in the middle of the state, and Florence, up toward the northern part of the state. And right in the center of that triangle is Manning, South Carolina.
Cloudy, 30% chance of thunderstorms, a high of 93. Right now it's clear, sunny, and hot at Williams.
Now, we're rolling out at least 30 minutes. 30 minutes of nothing but the best country on the radio.
Turn it up.
Wheels. 92.5.
WHLZ, Florence, Hartsville, Manning, and WIMB Manning.
It's interesting to me, that station in Manning runs 2,300 watts during the daytime hours. And you wonder, boy, did they have to sort of squeeze that station in between some others that either operate at 920 or on some adjacent channel, I guess. Okay, we're going to move down into the Peachtree State, and we'll hear what was heard 30 years ago in the state capital.
It's 84 degrees. I'm Julian Muta, WGST Atlanta.
Shop Green Brothers Nurseries after Labor Day sale.
Short, sweet, and sufficient for what I wanted in those days. But as recently as the middle of 2004, this is what you heard in Atlanta at 9:20.
Traffic is slow now as you begin to make your way into the metro Atlanta area on all the interstates. The AM 920 WAFS Atlanta forecast, mostly sunny today. Highs in the low to mid-90s. Should be a record breaker today.
Well, be that as it may, it's certainly a welcome introduction to the Sunshine State. We go right down the Atlantic coastline, about halfway down the peninsula.
So talk to me, Attorney Jeff Thompson, this morning at 11 on Classic Talk Radio, AM 920, WMEL.
You're hearing Classic Talk Radio, AM 920, WMEL, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Cocoa, Titusville, and the Space Coast of Florida.
NBC Radio News.
Potentially unsettling news about North Korea. The New York Times reports that U.S. officials think the North has one or two nuclear devices.
Now, directly across the state of Florida, we find the city of Dunellen, really a suburb, more or less, of Ocala. And back until November of 1997, this is what 920 sounded like there.
Heaven help us, baby's got her blue jeans on.
Daniel from 1985 closes out the breakfast show for a Tuesday morning. WTRS, WTRS FM, Dunellen, Leesburg, Gainesville, Ocala.
I'm Chet Douglas with the latest from ABC News.
But in November of 97, that's when WTRS AM gave it up and went off the air. So on that note, we will turn tail and head north up into Alabama. And tucked into the northwest corner of the state is the town of Russellville.
In the country, we're hit 92 WJRD Russellville.
I
wasn't recorded very well, was it? Let me see who I can blame for that one. Oh, yeah, Linda and I did that one. As a matter of fact, Linda and I did all the recordings on today's program. Let's wind up in Tennessee.
Recorded at 84, today's low at 61. It's partly cloudy, 77 from WLIV. Livingston, Tennessee, Weather Service of Livingston and Salina, Dairy Queen.
I love to tell.
Well, that's going to do it for today. Next month, we'll be visiting Superman's hometown and a dozen other exciting places as we cross the country. But right now, speaking of exciting places, this is the audio service, and that's where you hear Mark Dernberger. He was in the middle of a story when Fred interrupted him last month, so it's up to you, Mark. This is John Bowker. See you next month, everybody.
Thank you, John. Another most interesting travelogue. I sure look forward to these each month. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service with part two of an expanded band report from our monitor post in eastern Utah. As we told you last month, there hasn't been a lot of unusual activity to report, pretty much what you might expect, and a disappointment that we can't seem to copy anything much farther east than Des Moines. That's due, no doubt, to the increasing clutter of the X-band and, of course, due to those wonderfully unpredictable propagation effects, which seem much more pronounced up there on the band. Now let's see, where were we? On 1670, most folks are able to copy WTDY. We've got a little stuff coming in from behind us, but no problem with that ID.
One of our plumbing professors to install it for you. We're at Highway TD in Verona Road. Ask for a plumbing professor.
Talk Radio 1670, WTDY Madison. ABC News starts now.
From ABC News, I'm Paul James. A major rocket attack in Baghdad in the vicinity of coalition headquarters. It happened not far from the convention center, where an interim constitution is scheduled to be signed tomorrow.
And again, after WTDY goes on night power, it's still there.
Children who were
1680 is predominantly from the west. We'll hear a Fresno ID mixed with the signals from the east.
Brought to you by 2735
because of Wendy's. Hi, this is Michelle Branch, Radio Disney's back, so crank it up.
KAVD, Fresno, Radio Disney.
And with the antenna switch to the west, Fresno jumps up, but then fades into a mix with Seattle, and then comes back out. Again, an example of our deep fade characteristics on the X-band.
The drama, the human experience, the agony of defeat. What are you talking about?
I'm just trying to tell people about ESPN Sports for Kids.
Well, try speaking so I can understand you.
Okay. ESPN Sports for Kids takes you behind the scenes to find out everything about your favorite athletes and how you might be like them. Like, you might have the same book collection as a famous baseball player.
Cool.
Now they understand.
That's better, but what was that about your feet?
ESPN Sports for Kids, new by McDonald's.
ESPN Sports for Kids, Radio Disney. How does this our regularly scheduled program? Radio Disney is back.
Radio Disney.
On 1690, always out our way, it's Disney in Denver.
That's 720-946-1899. The e-book, an amazing value to support our children.
Radio Disney.
Here comes the music. I'm Haley Duff. It's your music, your way, Radio Disney.
AM 1690.
90 KDDZ Arvada, Denver.
Hey, hi, my name is Emmanuel. I'm from California, City Rialto. I'd like to make a shout out to all my friends from school, my father, and all of my relatives.
Now here's that same signal after power cut. We heard the cut, so we know it happened. But propagation is wonderfully unpredictable, as we all know. Listen to that same station with a tenth of the power it had on the last audio cut we heard. It'll sound pretty much the same. But then, note what happens a few seconds later as it fades away.
Hi, this is Michelle Branch. Radio Disney's back, so crank it up.
AM 1690 KDDZ, Arvada, Denver.
Those propagation effects are one of the reasons why your friendly correspondent is pretty careful before he accuses a station of cheating. So, that leaves us with 1700. And here are KTBK Sherman, Texas, and KBGG Des Moines, Iowa, duking it out. Listen for the mention of Dallas under the SS music, and, if I may, the incredible sameness of the Spanish enthusiasm and sound effects. And why do they all sound that way?
You're on the Dallas Star Post.
Ahora el mundo entero lo reconoce por su talento. La ley 1700 AM presenta
el bailazo que estabas esperando.
Domingo 14 de marzo.
Evan Black.
Evan Center.
Venga.
A bit later, we found a true ID on KBGG.
AM 1700 KBGG Des Moines, Iowa. Esta es KBGG 1700 AM transmitiendo desde Des Moines, Iowa con 25,000 watts de potencia. La ley 1700 AM, la que toca puras buenas.
La que manda.
And shortly thereafter, the deep fade started again, and we got a confirmation on Texas. The 1310 parallel announcement means this was co-owned KTBK Sherman, Texas.
As you head home from the AAC, it's time to tune in and turn on the Dallas Stars Postgame Show with Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
All right, it's 5:06, and this is the Dallas Stars Postgame Show. The Stars beat the Sharks.
And then, of course, before we leave, we need to sneak outside the band just a little bit. Many of you have heard this. It was our reception on 1710 back in October. Heard it on two different radios, so I know this wasn't a mix or an image or any local phenomena such as we've been discussing on the NRC Reflector. In fact, it's just lucky copy of a flea power signal emanating from somewhere east of Indiana. Sounds familiar. Well, there you are, by request, as they say. Our version of the expanded band is heard in February 2005 from Eastern Utah. Not a lot of fun catches here. Our conclusions? I have two to share with you. First, the ability of the beverage to work directly east without interference from stations from the west was somewhat compromised. I need to explain that a beverage can be made to be extremely directional one way, but that takes some technical wizardry. Now help me here, I'll try to keep this non-technical. Every antenna exhibits a value called a self-impedance. That's a characteristic whose actual value is dictated by the length of the wire, the height above ground, and most importantly in this case, the operating frequency. Each situation, the antenna presents a different self-impedance. We've learned over many years that a receiver system on one end of the beverage will work best when it is matched to that self-impedance of the wire. Sorry, I don't know how else to explain this, but hang in there. You can get close to that optimum value of matching by using resistors obtained from your local Radio Shack to help make the receiver match the antenna. Now, for the best front-to-back performance, you also need such a resistor on the opposite end of the antenna. And I think we demonstrated previously how we've done that. Remember those slick front-back reports we did a few months ago when we switched between Chicago and Las Vegas on 720 by simply reversing the direction of the antenna? That worked well, because we had taken pains to optimize the value of that resistor on the far end. Now remember, I said the value of that resistor will be dictated by the frequency. Being in a lazy frame of mind this time of year and not interested in a bunch of half-mile trips back and forth, I had left the original resistor in place that made the antenna work well at 720. But that value of resistance didn't work nearly as well at 1620. And so as a result, we were hearing a lot more stations coming from the back than we should have if the antenna had truly been pointing only east. The other conclusion I might suggest is that we might have been better off with a shorter antenna for this project, because with the extreme sensitivity and the directionality of the beverage, whatever direction it was listening, we were actually hearing more stations than we could identify in all that clutter. I think, had we used a shorter antenna, we'd probably have had clearer reception. So we learned from our experience, and we'll know better what to do next time. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service, and next month, also by request, we begin our six-part series of articles we wrote for the industry newspaper Radio World. During this series, we'll take you through the formation and destruction of the 1A and 1B frequencies, the former clear channels. We hope you'll find it interesting and informative, and we do apologize for delaying the start of that series by 1 month. So we'll see you in June with The Clear Channel Matter. Until then, good listening, DXers.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Court orders end to Radio Shack branding in Canada. This is a CBC News story. A U.S. District Court judge has ordered that all 950 Radio Shack stores in Canada must stop using that brand name in any of their signs, packaging, products, or advertising as of June the 30th. The company that oversees the stores, Circuit City Stores Incorporated, said Friday that it intends to appeal the ruling. Radio Shack Corporation had asked the courts to allow it to end a licensing contract it had with Intertan Incorporated, a subsidiary of Circuit City. That licensing deal had allowed Intertan to use the Radio Shack name at its company-owned and dealer stores across Canada until 2010. Alleging that Intertan had breached the terms of its agreement with Radio Shack, the company launched a lawsuit last year seeking the court's okay to end the contract early. Intertan was acquired by U.S.-based Circuit City in March of 2004. The lawsuit was filed a week after Circuit City bought Intertan. Circuit City and Radio Shack are major competitors in the United States. The most important thing to us was to protect our brand position in Canada, Radio Shack General Counsel Mark Hill said in a statement after the judge's ruling. We are committed to acting in the best interest of our shareholders, and we're extremely pleased with the court's decision, he said. What will Radio Shack stores in Canada become after June the 30th? Perhaps Circuit City? Coming to a courtroom near you is the answer. Recently, news came to us of the passing of John Reiser. On January 18, 2003, John Reiser, WQ4L, told some stories about his life as an FCC inspector. These really bear repeating on the DX audio service, so I thought I'd read some of them to you today. While working as an engineer for the University of Michigan Broadcasting Service, John helped build a new educational FM station. His plans after completing the station were to work for RCA at its new broadcast transmitter facility near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. However, after visiting a nearby FCC field office to pick up some forms and arrange for a new station licensing initial inspection, he was encouraged to apply for an open engineering job there. He applied, and the FCC hired him. John's first field assignment was in the Detroit field office. The field office in Detroit, Michigan, had a front desk where the public was served and a back room where the field inspectors had their desks. A hand key and buzzer at each desk supported the use of Morse code for inter-office communications. Some of the cue signals that were used were QFC, you are wanted at the front desk, QCH, please come to my desk, and QLT, time for lunch, and so forth. John's first case as an FCC inspector? Well, the FCC knew about an unlicensed operator on 10 meters, but they hadn't caught him in the act. One day, John went to the house just to warn the kid and suggest that he apply for his amateur license. The kid's mother answered the door, and John asked if Billy was home, as he wanted to talk to him about his radio operating. The mother said, "Why, yes, Billy is expecting you," and escorted John up to Billy's bedroom. Well, it turned out that Billy was expecting a school friend. They were taking their novice test using the study guide and without supervision of the required volunteer examiner. This ended Billy's radio operations for a while. Another interesting case was interference to a flight over Kentucky. An American Airlines flight operating between Washington, D.C. and Chicago was experiencing interference when it flew over the Hazard, Kentucky area, an area known for bootleg whiskey. John was sent to investigate the source of the interference. When he got into town, he first checked in with the local sheriff. The friendly sheriff offered John a taste of the local product, which was described as very potent stuff. John and the sheriff then went looking for the source of the interference using directional finding equipment. What they found was a TV translator on a mountaintop broadcasting programs on Channel 3 into a valley containing just a few homes. The transmitter was a converted war surplus rig that spewed harmonics all over the band. While John was considering what to do next, the sheriff pulled out his revolver and dispatched the transmitter, putting it off the air permanently. Then there was the case of the mayor's office bugged in an Ohio town near Cleveland. Following the report of a strange signal just above the broadcast band, John used a sniffer receiver to find a transmitter that was buried in one wall of the mayor's office. A microphone was hidden in a ventilator. The parts for the homemade transmitter had all come from Radio Shack. Turned out that the nephew of a candidate for promotion to a position within the town government had built and hidden the transmitter so that his uncle could monitor the goings-on in the mayor's office. Then there was the mafia. They planted a radio control device at the trash dump. A local mafia ring had a profitable trash collection business because the loads of their trucks carried into the dump were consistently underweighed, and the disposal fee was based on the apparent weight of the load after being dumped. The scheme worked like this. A mafia observer activated a transmitter when one of the company's trucks rolled into the scales, and a receiver activated a mechanism that reduced the measured weight. The company that held the contract to maintain the scales had been paid off by the mafia to plant the receiver and control the mechanism for the scales. John found the receiver, and the jig was up. Using binoculars and a radio link to enjoy drive-in movies for free, somebody planted a small transmitter operating just above the AM band in a drive-in movie theater to broadcast the film's audio tracks. He listened to the broadcast audio while watching the movie through binoculars from a nearby hill. The guy was caught one night after he climbed a tower to make some repairs to his equipment. FCC field inspectors often change their license plates and auto inspection stickers to help conceal their true identities. Once, after finishing up a case and before heading back to New York, John replaced the West Virginia plates with New York plates, but forgot to post the New York inspection sticker. It was just his luck to be pulled over by the New York State Police in a routine checkpoint, where he was told to join a line of cars awaiting further inspection and ticketing. Realizing the replacement stickers were still back at the office, he put the West Virginia license plates back on the car while waiting for his turn in line. When he reached the inspection point, he was recognized as an out-of-stater and promptly released to continue his journey home. Changing license plates in a public parking lot is a risky thing to do because some good citizen, thinking it's a car theft underway, is likely to call the cops. And it has happened to John.
This is Art Bell from Coast to Coast AM, and I'd like to congratulate the staff and the editors of the National Radio Club for 20 years of providing the DX audio service to listeners of radio. Keep up the good work, and be sure and listen for W6OBB as you dial around the radio, usually about 3840 on 75 meters.
At this time, please turn over your tape to side two.
Keep on moving.